Okay, today's daf is Bava Basra Daf Gimel. The first 20 lines or so of Bava Basra Daf Gimel are basically a mirror image of Daf Beis Amid Beis. We were discussing, the Mishnah had said that when two shutfin want to do a mechitza, so they're boninus hakosel be'emsa. So the first version of the discussion started with the assumption that mechitza means wall. So he said if two shutfin want to make a wall, so they build a wall in the middle. But if they only want to make a division, then there wouldn't be necessary to make a wall in the middle. It's because they want to make a wall that they make a wall, which sounds like hezek ri'iya, is lav shmei hezek. And then the Gemara flipped to the other side that hezek ri'iya shmei hezek. This second version of the discussion takes it from the reverse side. Lishnachrina amila savrua mai mechitza plukta. That the original assumption is that mechitza means a division. And it's all the Mishnah is saying is that two shulchan want to make a division, they just want to divide their chatzer. They automatically have to build a wall. The only way they're allowed to divide is by building a wall. Where do we see mechitza means a division? Kedichsev ati mechza sa'eda. V'kibun deratzu bonenes hakosel bal karchan. Once they want to divide, they have to build a wall to divide the chatzeros. Alma hezek ri'ah shmei hezek. So then our mission is going to be a raya that hezek ri'ah is consequential. And again, the issue is not whether it's a good idea to look in somebody's property when they're doing private things. Certainly you're not supposed to do it. Whether hezek ri'ah shmei hezek or hezek ri'ah lav shmei hezek is a question of whether it's something that we can enforce you at your expense to avoid being able to do. But obviously it's not something that one is supposed to do. Ema mai mechitza aguda. So says the Gemara, no, maybe mechitza actually means a wall, and kiditnan mechitza kerem shenifetzar melagadar, nifetzar melagadar, nisiyashim menav lagadra, hariza kiddish v'chayv b'achriyusa, like we saw the Mishnah yesterday when it comes to kilei kerem, that if you have a mechitza in the kerem, between the kerem and the grain that falls down, so you tell the bal hakerem to build it up, and then it falls down again, you tell the bal hakerem to build it up, and ultimately he's nisiyash, he decides that he gives up, and he doesn't want to build it anymore, so now the grain and the grapes become asr bahana, and the bala kerem is going to be chayiv for the damage, the halachic damage caused to the grain. So you see that in that Mishnah, the word mechitza clearly meant a wall. So in our Mishnah as well, maybe it means a wall. The time of the ratzu, and it sounds like the only reason they have to build a wall is because they had agreed that they want to build a wall. Halal ratzu ein mechayiv noso. But if they did not want to build a wall, then you wouldn't be mechayiv them to build a wall. Al mehezek ria lav shmei hezek, which seems to push in the other direction, that hezek ria is inconsequential in terms of being able to force somebody to build a wall in order to avoid hezek ria. They only have to build a wall because they wanted to, but had they not wanted to, there would be no chiyuv to build a wall just because they want to divide. Ihach, he says in Gemara, because if that were the case, bonin es hakosel, bonin osomi bayulei. The language of the Mishnah would be a little off. The Mishnah were saying that two shulchan want to build a wall, the next phrase should be, bonin oso, so let them build it. But the Mishnah gets much more explicit. It says, bonin es hakosel. Sounds like we're first introducing the concept of a wall, the idea of a wall, in that line. It sounds like we haven't discussed and we haven't mentioned the concept of a wall previously. So it sounds like mechitza means a division, not a wall. So it says, because you have trouble if you say it means division also. Elamai, plukta, what do you want to say? That it means a division. Ihachi, if that were the case, the phrasing of that phrase itself is very difficult. Sheratzu la'asos mechitza, sheratzu lachtsos mibayilei. If you say people want to divide, you don't say people who want to make a division. That's not how you say divide. You just say people want to divide. La'asos mechitza sounds like they want to make a wall. They want to build something. So the lashon of that phrase makes it sound much more that the word mechitza over here means a wall rather than a division. So answers the Gemara, no. Sometimes people say, let's make a division. Apparently that's not an unusual phrase. And since that's not an unusual phrase, that's what's going on in our Mishnah as well. That really it means a division. And lasos mechitza is not an unusual phrase to use when you talk about dividing something. Vi hezek ri'ah shmei hezek, ma'iri ratzu afilu ratzu nami. If hezek ri'ah is consequential, then why would we say dafka if they want to? Even if they didn't want to, they would be chayiv to build a wall. Sam rabasim rabbi yochanan mishnasenu kishein badin chaluka. Maybe our Mishnah is talking about the type of chatzer that one cannot force his neighbor to divide. Meaning there are certain chatzeros that are that are large enough, we're going to see that if each person gets an area of 4x4 amos, the chatzar is considered large enough that one partner can force the other partner to divide it. But certain chatzeros are so tiny that they're pretty much useless if you were to divide it in half, and therefore one partner cannot force the other partner to divide it. So why do we need in our Mishnah a situation that it's ratzu in order to build a wall if in fact hezek riyah shmei hezek? Very simple. It's such a tiny chatzar, one guy could never force the other guy to divide. They both have to be on board to divide it. V'hu deratzu. My kamashmul. So what's the chiddush of our mission then? Dechiles be'din chaluka ki ratzu pligi. That when it's a tiny chatzar, that if they want to, they're allowed to divide it. Of course they're allowed. Tanina, we already learned that. Emosai b'zman shein shneim rotzim. When do we say that something that's ein b'din chaluka, that's too small to divide, that you don't divide it, that's only if they don't both want it. Aval b'zman she shneim rotzim, but if they both want to divide something tiny, afilu pachos mikan cholkin, they could divide something as small as they want. If they're both on board, these are the only two partners and they're both interested, of course they're allowed to divide it. So that's the chiddush of our Mishnah. That's something that's ein b'din chaluka, they could divide. So it says in Gemara, yimei hasam hava amina afilu pachos mikan b'msibus b'alma. No, from that other mission I only would have learned that if they want to divide, they could divide with some type of boundary marker. So over here we're told that no, they have to build a wall once they decide to divide. Again, if you assume hezek riyah, ishmei hezek. So why not just teach our Mishnah, not the other one? Because our Mishnah teaches everything the other Mishnah teaches, namely that asad hashem badin chaluka, if they're both interested, they can divide it. And more than the other Mishnah teaches, namely that you build a wall. So why do we need the other Mishnah at all? You're right. For that halacha that we just quoted, you don't need the other Mishnah. It's the Seifa that we need the other Mishnah for, where it says, V'kisvei HaKodesh, afal pi sheshneim rotzim lo yachloku. That when it comes to Kisvei HaKodesh, even if they're both interested, you can't go and divide it up. The Rashi says, Sefer Torah shu b'krach echad. V'chein avim uksuv maksuv b'gilyam k'sefer Torah. If you have, let's say, a Sefer Torah, that's all in one volume, a full Sefer Torah. So you're not allowed to say, you know what, I'm learning Bereishis and Shemos this year, and you're going to be learning Vayikra B'Midbar Devarim, so why don't we just break apart Bereishis and Shemos from Vayikra B'Midbar Devarim? I'll take the Bereishis Shemos, you take Vayikra B'Midbar Devarim, and we'll divide it that way. No, so that you don't do. You're not allowed to take apart the Sefer Torah, it's Pogea and the Kedusha of the Sefer Torah, and Rashi says, not only that, even if you have a Krach of Navi Muksuvim, when you have a Navi Shalem to go and divide it up is going to take away from its kedusha, and that's also not permitted. Okay, we skip the parentheses, so down past the next two dots. B'mayu kimtul masnisan b'she'in badin chaluka. So what do we say our mission is talking about? It's a case where the field is too small, the chatzar is too small to divide, to force somebody to divide. Ibishein badin chaluka ki ratzu mayhavi nahadrabahu. If it's so small that you can't force the other guy to divide, why does the fact that they both had agreed at one point that yes, we want to divide it, make a difference? After all, can't they just change their mind? Meaning, if all they did is said, yeah, I want to divide. So what? You said, yeah, I want to divide. So you could say the next day, no, I don't want to divide. Why does that make a difference that you once agreed to divide? Says Tosfos, ki ratzu mayhavi nahadrabahu leman yamar mechitza guda lo parich. Now, if you're going to assume that agreeing to divide meant that they agreed to make a wall, then there's no question in our Mishnah. Because then you could say that they made a kinyan to be meshabe their possessions, their nechasim, for the expenses of building a wall. But if you're going to assume that agreeing to divide just meant to divide, so then there was nothing, there was no expense, there was nothing they were mishabed themselves to do, there was no, so even a kinyan itself wouldn't work. And that's why, that's the line of questioning the Gemara is going to pursue. Assuming that initially all the agreement was to divide, not to build a wall. So this whole discussion is only within the Shita that Mechitza does not mean wall, that Mechitza means a division. So back in the Gemara, they can't just go back on their agreement because they did some form of kinyan. So Frakta Gemara, what do you mean some form of kinyan? What were they makna and kona? There was nothing to make a kinyan on. They were kona an agreement Can you make a kinyan on an agreement? A kinyan is something when you're meshabed yourself to do something, maybe, or you're meshabed yourself to give something. But a kinyan on an agreement is just an agreement to divide. No one's giving, no one's doing. It's just an agreement to divide. What kind of kinyan is that? Says Rashi, kinyan devarim hu. Rashi says, ve'ein chalipin konan ela dover anikna. Chalipin works to be kona an item, an object. Oh, what's the gears to change? Oh, b'mecher, or with a sale. Oh, b'matano, or on a matano. Shibud karkos, or to create a shibud on karka. Shakin chalalav, amataltalin. Kinyan works on something tangible. But you just make a kinyan on an agreement, that's what we call a kinyan tvarim. That's not a bona fide form of kinyan. Now, Tos says sometimes we blur the lines a little bit. For instance, the Gemara in Bab Metzia says that masna shomer chinam lios kishoel, if they do a kinyan, that a shomer chinam can take upon himself the responsibilities of a shoel with a kinyan. Isn't that also just a kinyan devarim? He's just being kona extra responsibilities, so it's a kinyan on a promise. So says Tosus, no, that's more, because you're being mishabit all of your nechasim to gnev v'aveda, for instance. If you take upon yourself the responsibilities of a shoel, when there's a gnev v'aveda that occurs, now all of your nechasim are mishubit to pay for it. Whereas if you were a shomer chinam, you would have no shibud to pay for it. So it's a kinyan gomer because you're meshabed es atzmo shem ya'ane sheyishalem. You're meshabed yourself that if there's an onus, k'nev aveda, anything of that nature, that you're going to pay. So since it creates a shibud on yourself, that's not a kinyan devarim. But over here, it's purely a kinyan devarim. It's just a kinyan on an agreement. For instance, the poskim talk about the minig, the Tosas and Mesach Ksuba stuff. Nun Dalit says the minig was that the chassan would write for the kalin Ksuba male litrin, even though he doesn't have anything right now, because he's meshabit his guf for it. And that's what the poskim talk about, that the shash shiduch, and they would make a kinyan between the mechutanim and between the chasan and kala. And that kinyan was that if anyone would be chozer from the shiduch, that there would be some sort of penalty, there would be some sort of fee that would have to be paid. Right? That's what we call the tanaim, or what we used to call the tanaim, was that if anyone would back out on the shiduch, that there would be some sort of boshas payment. But over there, it's a kinyan on a payment. But what would be a kinyan devarim? So pashas, a kinyan devarim is what we call the tanaim. When we make a kinyan between the Avia Chasan and the Avia Kala, so what's the kinyan on? The kinyan is on that we're going to go to the chuppah. That I'm going to bring my son, I'm going to bring my daughter to the chuppah. What do you mean? You're already going to the chuppah. Everything's all set. The whole wedding's paid for. Everyone's already all dressed up. Everyone's ready to go to the chuppah. Right? When we do the tanaim, 2 minutes before, 10 minutes before the chuppah, so the chora, that's a pure kinyan dvarim. That's the chora, a meaningless kind of a kinyan. The Rush has a tshuva in Klal Yud Beis, where he discusses someone who has a child, who has a baby boy, and does a kinyan that someone's going to be the bal bris, that someone's going to be the moel. So he says you could be chozer on it, because that's just a kinyan devarim bialma. That kinyan doesn't help unless it's on a mecher matana. But to make a kinyan to allow someone to do a mitzvah is just a kinyan devarim bialma. Now that may not be the case if you're paying him. Right, if you're hiring him to pay him, so then maybe it's different. But just to allow him to do a mitzvah, so that it's only a kinyan dvarim, it's not a kinyan on a schirus, it's not a kinyan on anything that is substantial in terms of things that kinyanim are normally chal on. The shach in Yerodeh Asim Reish Lamechdal, it's Sifkat and Zayin, and the Taz there in Sifkat and Hay, says that the rush would be moda, though, that if you did some sort of kinyan, and then you backed out and you told them, oh, no, I'm not interested in your services anymore, it would be a violation of Sheris Yisrael Yasu Avlov Lidabu Kazav, right? It would be a violation of speaking falsehood and, you know, telling a lie. So it would be us to do that, L'chadchila, but Meikra didn't. In terms of the kinyanim, there wouldn't be a problem in terms of the kinyanim. There's also Machlok Rishonim. A kinyan la'asos seems to be a kinyan devarim. What about a kinyan etain? A kinyan not to do something, but to give something to somebody. So the Yad Rama quotes Machlok as if a kinyan etain works or not. Mukhe Yosef quotes from the Gaonim that it's a kinyan devarim, and the Torah says that it's machlokas between the Rush and the Rama, that the Rush holds that it's not a kinyan devarim, and the Rama, Reish Mem Hei, holds that it is a kinyan devarim. But either way, over here, all they're being kona is the idea that they want to divide, to make a kinyan on the agreement to divide, that's purely a kinyan dvarim. And it says Gemara b'shakanu miyado beruchos. One possibility is, no, it wasn't just a kinyan dvarim. The shakanu miyado beruchos says Rashi, ze bar lo chelik mizrachi v'ze bar lo chelik maravi. They already chose sides. Who gets which side of the field? The shakanu miyado, and they made a kinyan on that. Umayata nikna chelik mizrachi v'ze, meaning they were kona land. So they made a kinyan on the land. They were kona that I'm going to get the east side of the field, you're going to get the west side. It's not just we're kona to agree to some sort of division later on. No, we know exactly the terms of the agreement. So we make a kinyan on the exact terms of the agreement, and therefore it's a binding kinyan. Ravashi says, who says it's just dvarim? Maybe they actually did a kinyan. Maybe they actually did a maisa kinyan. He was an old gadur paratz. He went to his side of the field and he did something to show that he's being kona his side of the field. Says Tosfos, Ravashi amagot shahalach temel ri. What's the big chiddush over here? The chazaka works. That's Ravashi's big chiddush, that if they do a chazaka, that's going to work. So v'nir l'ri da'akam ashman davgav the kamal kaman b'cheskes habatim shalom b'fanav tsarich l'meimer lo lechazeku kni hachakim shamra ata tikach ruach tzvonis v'ani ruach tzvonis v'alch v'akzik lo kalachat b'shalom zeh shalom b'fnei zeh nasa kamisha kanam yadam b'ruchos af li shalom rizel zeh lechazeku kni. Ravashi's chiddush is that even if they didn't use the phrase lechazeku kni and they had just been kona b'ruchos, that would be good enough. As long as they decided, I'm going to get the east side, you can get the west side. And then they go and they make a kinyan on their side of the field, even if they don't use that special formulation where each one explicitly tells the other, now go and make a kinyan, the kinyan is going to work. Okay, Makom Shnagel Livnos, and the Mishnah went on to say that you use whatever building material is the minog in your location, in your city. So if they use the 6 tefach stones, you use 6 tefach stones, 5 tefach stones, you use the 5 tefach stones, etc. So the Gemara is just going to define the 4 types of bricks or stones that are identified in our Mishnah. Gevil, Avni de Lomashafya. Gvil are stones that are not smoothed down. So because of their edges that protrude on either side, that's why they're a tefach larger than gazis. Because gazis, Avni de Mashafya, gazis are smoothed down. So since the edges are smoothed down, it's only 5 tefachim. Why duchziv? Kolela avanim yakaros kamidos gazis. Kfisin archi. Kfisin are half bricks. Levenim livni. Levenim are full bricks. Amr le Rabba bereid the Rava le Ravashi mimay the Gvil avni dlo mashafin in who vahitafik chaser le morsher de karnasa. How do you know that Gvil means stones that are not smoothed down, and the reason they're a tefach larger is because of the protruding edges? Dilma palga de gazis who vahitafik chaser le ben yorvihu. Maybe a Gvil is really a half gazis stone, so it's really 2.5 tefachim, and the reason it's a tefach larger than the gazis is because you take 2 half gazes stones and you cement them together with a tefach of cement in the middle. And maybe that's why it's 6 tefachim. Maybe it's not a stone that has protruding edges. It's a half gazes stone with cement in the middle. Because isn't that the very definition of the difference between kfisin and levenim? Is that one is half of the other and the extra tefach of kfisin is because of the tefach of cement? So how do you know gevil and gazes isn't the same thing? So he says, well, how do you know kfisin means a half brick of a levenim? How do you know that? El gemar gemirila. We have a tradition. Gevil nami avni lo mashafi gemar gemirila. So the fact that gevil is a stone that is not smoothed down is also a tradition. We have a tarish about that. We have such a tradition on what the definition of what the identification of these stones are. So that's what it is. It's not nothing to do with logic. Ikedamri, others say that the conversation happened in the reverse. Amar le ravach b'rei ravavi le ravashi mimayadai kfisin archinin hu vahitavak yisrael leben yurvi. How you know kfisin is a half of a levenim stone, and the reason it's an extra tefach is because of the cement in between the 2 halves. Maybe kfisin is an unsmoothed brick, is an unsmoothed levenim brick, and because it has protruding edges, that's why it has a tefach chesera. Just like that's the difference between gvil and gazes. And the tefach chesera by gvil and gazes is for the protruding edges. So maybe it's the same thing by kfis and levenim. So he says, no, according to your logic, gvil avni d'lo mashafin minalan. How do you know that gvil is defined as something that's not smooth and therefore has protruding edges. You know it by tradition, so we know the difference between Tfisa and Levenim by tradition as well. Fine. What you do see, though, is that when you connect two half bricks to each other, the standard amount of cement to use to connect them is a tefach. Right, that we definitely see from this conversation. That's only if you use tina cement. But if you use a more rocky kind of cement, you need more. You need more than a tefach. Others say no. That's only by rixa cement. But by tina, you wouldn't even need that much. Because it's called Alaramas Gova, Yavipusya Chamisha, Kai, Yilo, Lo, Kai. Wait a second. What does our Mishnah say? You build a fence that's 4 amos high. Take the Guzzis stone, right? You're using Guzzis stones 4 amos high. How wide is the fence? 5 tfachim. So apparently that's what we consider structurally sound. 4 amos of height for 5 tfachim of width using Guzzis stones. Is that really so, though, that you need 5 tfachim of width in order for a 4 amma high Guzzis fence to be structurally sound? V'hamatraxin, there was something called an amatraxin in the Beis HaMikdash, t'ayvegavoa t'las namasa, which was 30 amos high, v'lov pusya elishis poshkivikam, and was only 6 tfachim wide. It was an amma. That's why they called it amatraxin. It was a wall that was an amma wide, so it was only 6 tfachim wide, and it still stood, even though it was 30 amos high. So don't tell me that for every 4 amos of height, how can our Mishnah tell me that for every 4 amos of height on a Guzzis stone, you need 5 tfachim of width? We know that there was a wall in the Beis HaMikdash that was 30 amos high, and only had 6 tfachim of width, which is obviously disproportionate. It obviously doesn't work out in terms of the proportions set forth in our Mishnah. So so says the Gemara, Kivan Dika Tefach Yisei Rakai. No, things don't always work proportionally. Sometimes just a little extra width at the base will support a much greater height. So, first of all, what's traxin? What does the word traxin mean? So, Tosos over here quotes two shitos. Number one, Tosos says, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, the Tarek havi kamo truki gali brachos, the sin havi sinai. Tarek means closed. And sin is a lashon of Sinai. So it's a combination of the words closed Sinai. Kolomar, Shayim Mafsik Vesoger Asaluchal, Shnasim Sinai, Shayim Menachos Baron, Shayim Beis Kodesh HaKadashim. This was the wall that closed off the Kodesh HaKadashim, which housed the Aron, which itself housed the Luchos. So the Aron closed off the Luchos that were gotten at Har Sinai. So the Amatraxin is the wall of Traxin that closed off the Luchos. V'yesh mefarshim others say no. Traxin pnim v'chutz. Sha'osa ama ha'isa safek imukadashas pnim o'chutz. L'kacha yisham shtei parochas k'damrin b'yuma. That Traxin is a lashon of inside and outside. Because we weren't sure whether that ama of space that the Amatraxin was on had a kedusha of the Kodesh HaKadashim or only of the Heichal. We weren't sure whether it had a din of being inside or a din of being outside. So therefore, it has this name Traxin, which signifies both inside and outside. Frankly, Gemara, Mikdash Sheni, my time, love it, Amatraxin. Why was there no Amatraxin wall in the second Beis HaMikdash? Answers the Gemara, Ki kai b'tlasin kai tfei lo kai. Because the Amatraxin can only stand 30 amos high, could not stand at a greater height, meaning with only 6 tfachim of width at the bottom, it would never have been stable had it been built more than 30 amos high. Who says the second Beis HaMikdash was taller than the first Beis HaMikdash? Where do we get that idea from? Says Gemara, Dechziv, Gadol Yeh, covered a bayis hazeh ha'achron min arishon, because the pasuk says in Chagai that the bayis ha'achron was greater than the rishon. And Rav Shmuel v'armin Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Lazar, and there's machlokas either Rav and Shmuel or Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Lazar, chadam Rabbi Binyan v'chadam Rabbi Shanim, whether it was greater, whether the pasuk refers to the fact that the second Beis HaMikdash was greater in terms of its height, or whether it was greater in terms of the amount of years that it lasted. Happens to be the isalaha. They're both factually true. It's just a question of which one the pasuk is talking about. But certainly, the second Beis HaMikdash was taller than the first Beis HaMikdash, and therefore you could not build an amatraxin because you had 40 amos of height, 6 tefachim of width would never have built you an amatraxin. The mefarshim point out, the Tosiyantif from the Mishnayis in Demai of all places in Perek Zayin Mishnah Gimel points out that it's a very unusual phrase the pasuk uses to describe the second of what we hope will be 3 Batei Mikdash. How does it refer to it? The Bayis Ha'acharon. Unbelievable, no? Achron, we normally assume, means last. So it tells Yantif in Demai, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Gimel, and the Rashba, in this Tshuva, Schel Galitzim, Kuf Pei Zayin, point out that the word Achron does not always mean last. It just means not the first. And the raya to that is, A, this Pasuk. Another raya to it, Parshas Vayishlach, Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Beis. Yaakov Avinu is going to meet Esav, so he lines up his family. So what does it say? Vayasim es hashvachos ves yaldeya in Rishona, ves Leah viladeha achronim. He puts the shvachos first, then Leah achronim, Leah and her children achronim, and then ves Rachel ves Yosef achronim. Well, wait a second. If Rachel and Yosef are achronim, then how could Leah viladeha be achronim? So you see that achronim doesn't mean achron. Also in Parsha Shemos, Perek Dalet Pasuk Ches, Vishamu l'kol ha'os ha'acharon. Ribbono Shel Olam says, if Paro doesn't listen to the first sign, or if the Bnei Yisrael don't listen to the first sign, they'll listen to the acharon. And then, after that, he gives them a third sign. So you see that the os ha'acharon is actually only the second os. The Chida and the Chassam Sofer say that the Bayis Rishon, the Shechina and the Luchos were the Iker in the Bayis Rishon, and the Bayis was only Tafel to the Shechina and the Luchos. But in the Bayis Sheni, the Iker was the Bayis, because there was no Shechina and Luchos in the Bayis Sheni. Right? In the Bayis Sheni, the Luchos were hidden either underground or on some other location, but you didn't even have the Aron in the Bayis Sheni. So as such, says the Chassam Sofer and the Chida, that's why we refer to the Bayis Sheni as the Bayis Ha'achron, because it's the last one where the Bayis is going to be primary. Because once we have the Bayis Shlishi, then the primary is going to be the Shechina, and the Bayis is only going to be Tafel to the Shechina. Okay, whatever. Pashtus is, like Tos Yantif says, that the word Achron simply in Hebrew does not mean last. It means later. It doesn't mean last. Says the Gemara, V'nevdu tlas namen v'binyan v'idoch nevd paroches, why couldn't we have an Amatraxin in the second base of Mikdash? Build 30 amos of the Amatraxin of building, and let the last 10 amos be paroches, be curtains. Meaning, we already established that when it's 6 tefachim wide in the first base of Mikdash, 6 tefachim of width supported 30 amos of height. So just because the second base of Mikdash was 40 amos high, doesn't mean you can't make the wall. Make the wall as high as you can, and then once it's going to get structurally unsound, so make the last 10 amos of paroches. And says Marno, ki kai tlasanam hasanami agav tikra maziva abakai. No, it doesn't stand 30 amos high and structurally sound 30 amos high unless there's something pressing down on top, unless you have the roof pressing down on top, the ceiling pressing down on top. But if you were to just build it freestanding, where there's nothing supporting it up from the top, it would never be able to stand. Ask the Gemara, okay, so don't build it 30 amos high. Build it however high you can build it of wall, and as long as it would be okay, and then make the rest of it paroches. So let's say you could build it 10 amos high, using wall material, using solid wall, and then make the rest paroches, make the other 30 amos paroches. Why would you make the entire thing paroches? So I'm Rabbi Gemiri, ikulu b'binyan, ikulu b'paroches. We had a tradition that it had to be one or the other. He had to do either all binyan or all paroches. Ikulu b'binyan mi'mikdash. How do we know kulu b'binyan? That's from the first base of Mikdash. Ikulu b'paroches mi'mishkan. Where do we find that you make it entirely of paroches? That's by the Mishkan. Ibailu, hein v'sidan, odilma hein below sidan. Going back to our Mishnah, when we discuss these shiurim of our Mishnah, the width of these bricks, does that count the sid, the cement that they would use, or does that not count the cement that they would use? Amrav Nachman Reisk Mustavra hein v'sidan. It's most Mustavra to assume it does count the cement that they would use. Do you sal kadai dechein below sidan? Listen to the shiure, because if it's really larger, and once you use the cement, and obviously in order to build the fence you're going to need cement, so why don't we mention the real shear? Right? Why would we mention that a gevil is six tefachim? What do you mean six tefachim? It's really like 6.5 tefachim once you're done with the cement. So if it were, if these measurements did not include the cement, it would be very strange, because the Mishnah is just not telling me the real shear. Elav shmamina hein v'sidan. So it seems that the Mishnah, when it gives me these shiurim, it's these shiurim already include, they already account for the space that the cement's going to take up. So says Marlo, the old Mimla hein below sidan. Really, I'll tell you, it's without the seed. the kivan de lo havi tefach lo tani. Why does the Mishnah not mention the real measurement then? Because the amount of sid that's used is less than a tefach, so it's so inconsequential, it doesn't bother mentioning it. Ay vakatani, but doesn't it say because it's zenos in tefachaim, zenos in tefachaim umechza? So it doesn't say that. That's how the Bach changes it. I mean, because why would we jump right away to levenim to give a case of mechza? We might as well pick the earlier case, right? So whatever it is, but we have two cases in the Mishnah where we say this one gives half measurement from his field, and this one gives a half measurement from his field. By gazis, this one gives 2.5. Tfachim, and this one gives 2.5 tfachim. So you see, we do mention half tfachim. So it says, "We're now hasam chazi l'sarufei." That's because there are two halves, and the two halves combine to make a whole. But when it's just a half, we're not going to mention a half tefach. Tashma another raya. Hakorish armu rechavikatei lekabla riach. That when we're bringing a raya right now from Erevin, and when we talk about a korah that is matir mavoi to carry inside a mavoi, so it has to be wide enough to be mekabla riach. It has to be wide enough that you could put an ariach brick on top of it and it could support an ariach. V'ariach chatzi levena shel gimel tfachim. How large is an ariach? It's half of a levena of gimel tfachim. Says Rashi, Alma gimel tfachim tektani legabi masnisin gabi levenin ki tektani zenos in tefach mechza v'zenos in tefach mechza hein belosi dan ka'amar. Makes it sound like the measurements in our Mishnah do not include cement. Because when we're talking about how wide the beam has to be, by a mavoi, we say, take a brick and see if that beam could support that brick. There's no cement involved. You're not building anything with that brick. So you have no reason to cement it. You're just taking the raw brick. And yet we still say, it's gimel tfachim. So you see clearly the measurements in our Mishnah are what the bricks are without any cement. And this is Gemara, no, hasam brav ravta. Now over there we're talking about an unusually large levated brick. Right, but normally a regular levenim brick, it only becomes gimel tefachim when you put the cement in. And dekanami, it's meduyik that way. Dektani shel shlosh tefachim, mechal di kazutra. It says a levenim shel shlosh tefachim. The implication being that there are levenim that are smaller. Shmamina. So therefore, you see, it's right. Tosfos asks, how do you know that it means that there are levenim that are smaller? Maybe shel shlosh tefachim means there are levenim that are bigger. This is the small end of the levenim. Okay, so Tosfos deals with that kasha. Says Gemara Vayter. Amar of Chista lo listerin shpeik nish. One is not allowed to destroy a shul until he has built another shul in its place. Some say because we're afraid you're going to be negligent and you're never going to build the second shul, right? So you can't knock down the first shul before you build the second one because we're afraid you're never going to build the second one. Others say, no, nothing to do with negligence. It's a practical thing. Where are you going to daven in the interim? We think you're going to build it, but that it's going to take a couple of months. Where are you going to daven in the meantime? So that's the reason. My binai, what's nafkamina? Ikabinai, who nafkamina is, dika duchta lusluye, if you have somewhere else to daven. That's how they change the gears on the side. That's if you have somewhere else to daven. So if the concern is that you're not going to have anywhere to daven, nothing to be concerned about. If the concern is that we're afraid you're going to be posheya, so even if you have somewhere else to daven, we're concerned, adrabba, it's more reason to be concerned that you're going to be posheya when you have somewhere else to daven, because there's no sense of urgency. They would knock down the summer shul in order to build the winter shul, and knock down the winter shul in order to build the summer shul. They didn't have air conditioning, so the structure of the shul for a summertime, in order to make it more breezy, was different than the structure of the shul that they would use during the winter time. There's a summer camp now that they call Beikaita, based on this Gemara. Beikaita is a summer home. Okay. So Amalei Ravina Ravashi. What if they've already collected all the money for the new shul? So are you still worried that they're not going to build the shul? No, we're still afraid they're not going to build it, even though all the money's collected. Because what happens if someone gets captured now and the bandits want money to redeem the captive, right? So people are going to use that money for pidyon shvuyim, and then they're not going to build the shul. So we're still concerned. What if they have all the building materials already purchased and on the construction site? So it's not just money now. Now it's already items. You have everything there. You have all the raw materials to build the shul. Are we still concerned they're not going to do it? Sometimes pidyon shvuyim is still going to come up. They're going to sell all those items, and then they're going to go. They're not going to build the shul. They're going to give it for pidyon shvuyim. Yeah, but if you're concerned about that, then even after they build the shul, you should be concerned. You should never be able to knock down the old shul, because after they build the shul, you should be concerned that they're going to sell the shul that they just built for Pidyon Shavuim. Now, Tosfos points out, is the Gemara really asking that? Come on, that's ridiculous. Meaning, they were afraid that after the Ein L'davar Sof, meaning forever? So Tosfos says, no, that's not what the Gemara is asking. The Gemara is saying, Ihachi kiban yanami perish achi spaluba, prior to davening in it. Once you daven in it, we're not concerned anymore that you're going to sell it. But even if it's already built, if you haven't yet used it, we should still be concerned that you're not allowed to knock down the old shul. And the Gemara is saying that that's not true. You are allowed to knock down the old shul if you haven't yet used the new shul, so long as it's already built. It says Gemara, Amalei dirasi dinshi lo mezavni. People don't sell their dira. They don't sell their place of residence, and therefore they don't sell a shul. So we're not worried that they're going to sell a fully built shul. So stop there for a second. Dirasi dinshi lo mezavni. People don't sell a shul. Is it mutter? If there's Pidyon Shvuyim, someone is held captive, are you allowed to sell the shul for the sake of Pidyon Shvuyim? So Rabbeinu Yonah writes that the Kavanah of our Gemara is that Ein Darkam Limkar. It's not the Derech to sell a shul. That's normally not where we find the money for Pidyon Shvuyim, by selling a shul. But is it Mutter? Yes, it's Mutter, says Rabbeinu Yonah. The Taz in Yardeis, in Reshon and Beis, Sivkat and Beis, says that the Torah holds that it's Aser. Why is it Aser? What does the Gemara say? Di Rase Di'in Shilom Zavni. People don't sell their homes. What's that got to do with the shul? We're trying to bring a riot whether you sell a shul or not. We're talking about a home. So says the Taz, no, what the Gemara is saying is, if you wouldn't sell your home, then you can't sell your shul. Meaning you have to treat the shul at least with as much covet as you treat your home. So it would be usher to sell the shul, because since the derech is that people don't sell their homes, so it would be usher to sell the shul, because that shows that you're treating a shul with less covet than you treat your home. Right, that's what we pointed out on several occasions. Rav Shechter has a beautiful piece in Eretz Tzvi where he talks about the concept of a mikdash ma'at, of kedushas beis haknesses versus kedushas hamikdash, and he points out that kedushas beis haknesses is the Ribbono Shel Olam meeting us at our home. Kedushas beis hamikdash is where we go to the Ribbono Shel Olam's home. Kedushas beis haknesses is the Ribbono Shel Olam meeting us at our home, and therefore anything you wouldn't do in somebody else's home, you wouldn't do in a person's home, you're not allowed to do in a beis haknesses. So if you wouldn't walk in with the wet boots into another person's home without changing shoes first at the door, then you're not allowed to do that in the Beis HaKnesses either. Anything you want to do that you wouldn't be comfortable doing in somebody else's home that you're not so comfortable with, you don't do in a shul either. That's only if you don't see a problem with the original shul. I mean, the fact that you're not allowed to knock it down in order to build a new one is only when there's no problem with it. But if you see that there's a problem with the shul, so then you can knock it down in order if there's a structural flaw with the shul that's falling apart, so then you're allowed to knock it down to build a new one. Just like the story with Ravashi, that he saw a problem with the shul in Masa Mechasya, Sasre knocked it down, and he brought his bed into the shul, and he didn't take his bed out of the shul until everything was done, until the gutters were already hung on the side of the building, because he was so concerned that they would never finish it properly. So he actually went and slept in the shul. Frank tells us, slept in a shul? Are you allowed to do that? V'teima, v'amrit patek nesiyo sein yishenu b'em lo shinas kev lo shinas arai. Don't we say that you're not allowed to sleep in a shul? Even a nap you're not allowed to take in a shul. V'ein l'tarit mishum tebe bavel havi. Don't tell me that it's because it was bavel and patek nesiyo shab bavel al t'nai hena suyun, and therefore you're allowed to do whatever you want in shuls in bavel. He says, because there's enough in the Gemara, not that way, that you're not allowed to go and take advantage of even a shul in bavel. Because he quotes the Gemara, we're not going to read the whole Tosfos because we don't have time. So says Tosfos as an answer, a few lines down, about 50 lines down, V'yesh lomar delav mamish lebeis haknesses aylu lepuria, el besamach lebeis haknesses. He didn't bring his bed literally into the shul, he brought his bed into the kiddush room. V'makom sha'archan regilin lishan sham, in the hospitality room of the shul, where the guests used to sleep, v'lechol, k'darmin b'arvei p'sachim, v'shmol l'amalei l'kiddushim b'knishan l'afuki archim b'dei chavasan. Like it's clear in the Gemara p'sachim, they used to have such a spot in the shul that Shmuel would make kiddush in shul in order to be motzi the guests their chiyuv. What about the concept that Patek Nesius and Bubler al Tanayin Nesuyin? That's Mefarish Rilin Shim Yakrivu Yasamin Mashi Yirtsu Levad Mikalus Rosh Kedamin Hasan. That just means that if it ever gets destroyed, you're allowed to use that location to build anything else, as long as it's not an issue of Kalus Rosh, you're allowed to build other things in the location. That's all the only thing of the Tanayin. But the full level of Kedusha that you have to treat a basic Nesus with applies even in Bavel.